Well, today's a day like no other. Hello, and no matter what season of life you are in, there is hope. Welcome to our daily broadcast, Hope for Your Heart. At this time, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor Calvin Corbett from Hickory Ridge Community Church in Chesapeake, Virginia, who has an encouraging message just for you.
Hello, this is Pastor Corbett with Hope for Your Heart. I'm so glad you're tuning in today. We've been going through and talking about why we love the church. And I have so many positive memories of growing up in the church. And I know not all of them were positive, but many of my memories have been very positive at church. As a matter of fact, I remind my kids all the time, we are blessed with five children. We have a 27-year-old, we have a 25-year-old, a 24-year-old, a 21-year-old, and then we have a son with autism who's 19 years old. And my kids are great. I love all of them. Now they're adults. We're really kind of an exciting time in our lives. We're almost empty nesters. We probably will never be completely empty nesters because our son that has 19, he'll probably be living with us until we have another place for him. But my kids, I remind them often, there are so many blessings from being connected with the church. And I know as, the preacher's kids say, they are in kind of living behind glass walls. And I understand that. And so we tried not to say negative things about the church or church people around my kids. We try to keep it real positive with them, kind of protecting them. But I remind my kids often, I says, you know, there are so many benefits that you have by being connected with the church, even if we don't even talk about the spiritual aspects. My kids have been blessed with jobs in some cases because of the people in the church. And we have a very special lady in our church, our church mom. Even to this day, every year she makes sure at Christmas that my kids are given a special gift. And so they have been really blessed with godly influence and good friendships throughout the years by being connected with the church. Today, I want to kind of change gears just a little bit. And I want to talk about how we can be involved in the church. And when you think about the church is not designed to serve us. The church is designed for a place for us to go and serve. So the church is a place where we use our gifts, where we use the talents that God has given. And I love my church because it's an opportunity for me to serve together and to be involved in using the gifts and the talents that God has given me and that God has given you to be heavily involved in serving. So you have been superly empowered with a gift to be used as part of a supernatural team called the church. And I know it takes a lot of encouragement sometimes to be staying connected and serving the Lord. And so I always say that the heroes of my church are the ones who are serving because they are the ones that make it happen. And so encouragement is what service does. When you think about how we are using our gifts within the body of Christ, there's two purposes that God has in us using our spiritual gifts. Number one, it brings glory to God. It's a reflection of what He has done for us as we use these gifts in serving God through the church. But secondly, our spiritual gifts helps believers. It encourages believers. Now, that word encouragement comes from the same word as help. When we come to church, we are told we're to help one another. This is the accomplishment of taking these spiritual gifts, weaving them through the conversation and through the congregation, and helping one another. Did you know that word encouragement? It is found 105 times in the New Testament. The word encourage is a word that is the same word, or a root word of that word for the Holy Spirit, helper. Helping us to develop into something. Somehow, encouragement has been confused with complimenting or praising others. It's not just praising one another. It's actually infusing them with courage, that ability to keep them going on. And so encouragement is something that everybody needs heavy doses of. Every single one of us needs to be infused with that courage because when we get discouraged, we're not just defeated. When we get discouraged, we lose courage. So helping others to develop this confidence that they need is part of what God does in gifting us. And He wants us to be serving in church so that we can encourage one another. So when the Bible talks about encouragement, it usually means the one is calling somebody to the side in order to teach them something, in order to comfort them, in order to strengthen them, or in order to push them to act in a certain way. There are a few other words in the Bible that have a similar meaning, such as exhort or to warn, to admonish, but they mean basically the same thing. People who encourage other people are staying encouraged. People who encourage others with things like, I love you and I need to encourage you, they need to hear that. They are driven by the words of encouragement. If you look at the book of Ephesians, for example, when Paul founded the church at Ephesus, the city of Ephesus was a major occult city. They were worshiping the goddess Artemis. And as you look at this city, that was a main attraction. There are many other types of occultic practice that were thriving there as well. I mean, it was a very dark place to be a follower of the Lord. It was extremely important that the Ephesian believers maintained unity among themselves so they wouldn't struggle alone in their new faith. So Paul encouraged them to remain unified in his letters to them. Well, here's part of that letter, Ephesians 4:1. Therefore, Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the call with which you have been called. And he tells us how to do that. With all humility, with all gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So there's that word again, parakaleo, meaning or imploring us to encourage somebody. So when Paul says, I implore them to walk in a manner worthy, he's actually saying that he's encouraging them to walk the right way. The Ephesian believers were allowing this unity to creep into the fellowship of the believers. And Paul is telling them that what they needed to hear in order to change their behavior was this. When you confront a friend about this to urge them to get back in line with God's will, this is what you're doing. And this is powerful stuff. You are encouraging them. Encouraging means telling people what they need to hear in order to bring about a change in action, feeling, or belief. When we encourage others, we should always do it with love, with grace, with wisdom. Sometimes encouragement is best to do in private, especially if the issue is a sensitive one. Remember, your encouragement makes a huge difference. So why should I be involved with the church? Because when you're involved in serving the church, using your gifts, you are encouraging somebody. We get involved to glorify God, but we also get involved to encourage others to be filled with joy. Well, let's talk about the motivation of why we should do this. Well, number one is a command of God to be serving in the church. Romans chapter 12, and there's actually three different passages in the New Testament that talk about the spiritual gifts. And so we're going to be looking at these today. Romans chapter 12 is one, Ephesians 11 and 12 is another passage, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But we learn from the Romans passage that God actually commands us to be servants. Romans 12, verse number 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. What a powerful testimony that is. How in love? How do we do it? Honoring one another above yourselves. Now that right there is a sermon in and itself, right? Honoring others above ourselves. I think we like to honor ourselves not a whole lot above everybody else, but just a notch above everybody else. And why is that? I think most of us think that we're just a little better than everybody else. Not a whole lot better than everybody else, but just a little bit better than everybody else. Here we're told that we're to be never lacking in zeal, keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. It tells us how to do it in verse number 12, Romans 12, 12. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You got to practice hospitality, right? So that you get better at being good at hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be prideful, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So to do this, we're commanded to do it and we're commanded how to do it. We're to serve others as if they're more important than we are. There's a second reason that we ought to be serving in the church is because the body needs us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, these parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving honor to the parts that lack it. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that all parts of the body are to be honored. So many times we wrongly think that if I have the gift of teaching, for example, that my gift is more important than the gift of serving, or my gift is more important than the gift of mercy. Or if we have the gift of evangelism, we say, well, my gift is more important than the gift of administration. No, they're all important. They're all of equal importance. Serve the Lord with the gifts that you are given because you are a vital part of the body. Where our body goes, all of our parts go. Where my hand goes, the rest of my body goes. Some parts are more visible than others, but all are important. In fact, the parts that are not seen are really indispensable. Take, for example, you can't see my heart, but if it's taken from my body, I'm dead. You can live without a leg, or you can live without a hand, or you can live without certain body parts, but your heart, you can't live without a heart. The heart is vital. So the parts that we often think are less important are really very much important, and so we should give special honor even to those parts that are unseen and underappreciated by the body. Well, what does it mean when you think about spiritual gifts? You think about what spiritual gifts do, that we're given spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are these endowments of power which enable us to carry out the vital functions of our body in the life of the church and the life of Christ. These endowments are supernaturally given to us, and the results are produced supernaturally. So for the proper functioning of spiritual gifts, we must stop thinking individualistically, right? We must be thinking corporately. Think of the gifts that are given not as separate gifts, but as part of the body. We can't look at ourselves as an island independent of others. We must see ourselves as members of the body of Christ with certain gifts and special enablements which equip us to carry out the functions necessary of the equipping of the body of Christ. We must rely on other members of the body just as they must rely on us. So let's keep in mind certain things when we understand the importance of being connected and serving in the church. We care for each other, and by caring for each other, that keeps us united. Well, you say, well, did you just make that up? No, this is what Paul says. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. So as there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for one another. In other words, God has wired us in such a way that we need each other, and that need for being connected with each other is met through the gifts that God gives us, and that keeps us from being separated. I need you, and you need me. Caring for others is a clue as to why we are kept together. We come together because we care. We stay together because we care. God so wants us to stay together, Jesus even prayed for it. One of the reasons we have needs is because they keep us together. When the world sees how much we care about each other, they're actually drawn to find their need fulfilled with us. Let's look how it's put in John chapter 17. As you know, John chapter 17 is the prayer that Jesus offered. Part of that prayer says this, I do not ask on behalf of those who are alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus in his prayer is saying, I pray that the church would be unified. I pray that it be together as you are, Father, with me. And when that happens, the world will believe in me. So our unity as a church is what brings people to the church. They see this unified spirit and they say, man, I want to be unified. I want what they have. I have these needs that cannot be fulfilled in a natural way. I want it to be fulfilled through the church. Well, here's the second thing about spiritual gifts. We share with each other to keep us healthy. Okay, we share with each other to keep us united, but we also share with each other to keep us healthy. Going down to verse number 26, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs chapter 12. He says, you know, when you're anxious, anxiety just weighs down the heart of a man. But a good word encourages him, makes him glad, lifts him up. Proverbs 14:20 says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Our tendency is to be self-centered and self-serving. Our service to God tends to be self-sacrificing. You see, when our service does not appear to be successful, and when our ministry is not self-serving, our tendency is to resign. We, like Elijah or Jonah, want to turn our badge and give up. Paul urges us to stick with what God has given us to do, to persevere. But he knows that in the flesh we would give up. Here is where faith and obedience and perseverance comes in. As we have somebody to encourage us and we encourage somebody else, we are healthier, we are stronger, we are better united. We also look at spiritual gifts given to us for the purpose of keeping us accountable. If you happen to be a school teacher listening to this broadcast, you know that students do what you inspect, not what you expect. That's why you give them tests. You give them a quiz. That quiz is an inspection of what they're supposed to be learning. As you give them that test, it proves whether or not they have learned it or not. We need accountability in our lives. As we look at verse 27, again, we're still at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. You're part of the body of Christ. And he says, each one of you is part of it. And because we're part of it, there's accountability. So never be satisfied with mediocrity. Give your best. Don't worry if you are the best, just give your best. If you give your best, someone will think you are the best. That's just kind of how it works. In Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 5, it says, pay attention to yourselves. This is powerful right here. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in one day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. I want you to know that as you are exercising your gift, you're going to have people come alongside you. They're going to keep you accountable. You're going to have people come alongside you and they may rub you the wrong way. But I want you to know that requires faith. God wants our faith to ever be increasing, and he knows that that is going to happen as we forgive somebody else. It is so hard sometimes to forgive people. But as we forgive people more often, our faith actually increases. You know, throughout the Bible, there are so many one another's listed in the scriptures. Let me just give you a few of them, and I'll give you the reference real quick. And I know you're probably driving, so it's going to be hard to write them down. But the Bible tells us, Galatians 5:13, serve one another. The Bible tells us, Romans 15:7, accept one another. The Bible tells us, Colossians 3:13, forgive one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another. Romans 16:16, greet one another. Don't give anybody the cold shoulder, especially a brother in Christ. Greet one another. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Some translations say, forbear one another's burdens. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. That is, be committed to one another. Romans 12:10, honor one another. Romans 15:14, teach one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another. Well, how does this work? It works through the body of Christ. with each of us having different gifts. You see, our gifts are varied, but they're all given to us by the Spirit of God. It's done also by serving within the body of Christ, doing it all for the glory of God. Not all the works are accomplished on Sunday morning. You know, service is accomplished throughout the week. If you have the gift of mercy, for example, and you go to the hospital, you go to the prison, you visit somebody, or you go by and bring a meal to somebody, you go by and pray and encourage somebody. When I get done recording this broadcast today, I've got to stop up at Chesapeake Regional Hospital because I've got a member in there who's not doing well. His health is declining. He was told he has cancer. I'm going to go to try to encourage him, to pray with him. You know, what I do at that hospital room is just as important as what I'll do on Sunday morning as I give the gospel. It's just as important as what I'm doing right now in recording this broadcast. It's so important to be a blessing to others. Works may vary, but all of the gifts that God gives us is actually empowered by the Spirit of God. So when you are serving in the area that you are gifted in, you're being empowered by the Spirit of God. You know, the results may always vary, but it's best for what's all. You see, God's plan is always enlarging His kingdom. It's so simple. One person telling another person about the Savior. I know we're all busy, we're all full of excuses, but just remember, somebody's eternal destiny is at stake. The joy that you have when you will meet that person in heaven as you share the gospel with him will far exceed the discomfort that you may feel in serving and sharing the gospel. Once upon a time, there was a famous house builder and a painter. After designing many homes, he would then build them and paint them and sell them. As a painter, he was such an amazing artist that he didn't even drop paint on his clothes. He didn't use painter's tape. He had a steady hand. And he was finicky about using good brushes and good quality paint, so there were no drips, just tight trim lines. This craftsman always designed, built, and painted the houses all by himself, with his own hands. But then one day, he had a remarkable idea. As he was standing by one of his houses, he saw a bunch of kids walking home from the local elementary school. They were minding their own business, laughing and carrying their backpacks, until he shouted, "Hey, kids!" When they looked up, startled and awestruck, because everybody in town knew about his amazing skills, he asked them a surprising question. "How would you like to do some painting?" "What do you mean?" "I'll tell you what," he said. "I'll give each of you a bucket of paint and a brush, and you can paint my new house. Do you want to give it a try?" "For real?" they squealed with delight. The painter nodded with a yes. "Yep, for real." "Cool," the kid said. He opened up the back of his truck, pulled out a load of brushes and paint cans, and they pried open the paint cans. They started splashing the paint on the garage door. They got the paint on the sidewalk too, and some on each other. But they also got a lot of paint on the house, all different colors, especially on the parts of the house that had newly covered paint. The house painter's neighbors came over after dinner to take a look at it, and they said, "What's going on?" they asked. Another blurted out, "Look, I gotta be honest. Your house looks like a tornado ripped through Sherwin-Williams. What were you thinking?" "Well," the painter asked, "of course, I could have painted this house all by myself, but I've always built and painted houses in order to bring joy to others. So based on that goal, that is the most beautiful house I've ever made. Then dozens of my friends will want to come to this house. They'll bring their friends to show what they've painted. And each one will say, 'This is the home of the master painter builder,' but it's not only our home, it's our house." In the same way, when God the Father, the master creator and the painter of the world, pours out his Holy Spirit on his followers, he hands every single one of us a can of paint and a brush, and he says, "Go to work, use your gifts. Let's paint a beautiful house for the world." Thomas Merton, in his book, No Man is an Island, said this, "Happiness is that sought for ourselves alone can never be found. For a happiness that is diminished by not being shared is not big enough to make us happy." So Lord, today we just pray that we will use the gifts that you have given us. Allow these gifts to be building up the body of Christ. Allow these gifts to bring glory and honor to God. May we not be self-seeking. May we use these gifts to build up the body of Christ. May we use it to encourage somebody. Lord, I pray today that somebody is encouraged by this broadcast and that they will share the love of Christ with somebody else. Maybe they're going to stop by and do a hospital visit on the way home. I pray that they will encourage that patient that they're going to see. I pray as they go into their home that they encourage their husband or their wife. And Lord, you're going to be glorified in this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hello, my friend. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. I wanted to personally invite you to our Easter services, April the 12th at 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 11 o'clock. I hope you come. We're also having an Easter egg hunt at 10:30. I'd love to meet you, and I'd love to spend some time with you. So I hope to see you at Hickory Ridge Community Church, 3320 Battlefield Boulevard, South in Chesapeake, Virginia, 9 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 11 o'clock on Easter Sunday.